going to be looking again tonight at the Gospel of John, chapter 14. It's been a real joy to be with you today. We always enjoy coming to Raleigh. We cherish your friendship and your fellowship, and it's always an enjoyable time to be here. Verse 6, I am the truth. I am the truth. This morning we were considering, as you remember, I am the way. This evening, I am the truth. There are many people that are on many ways in the world. And there are those who give directions in regards to various ways. But you remember that there is a way that seemeth right. But this way is not a way that merely seemeth right. It is a way that is right, because it is the way of truth, because it is associated with the one who is the truth. The tragic thing is that man today has a tendency to try to persuade himself that truth is a relative thing. The idea is that truth may be, something may be true in Raleigh, and it may not be true in Pembroke. And so there is confusion as far as man is concerned. And so the Lord Jesus says to us, and he says to his disciples, I am the truth. So you can go to an individual in Raleigh, and you can go to a person in Pembroke, or any place else on the face of the earth, and you can present this one who is the truth, and you can know that the truth pertaining to Christ is applicable and appropriate for any man, anywhere on the face of the earth. You don't have to adapt the truth. You simply present the truth. So, truth. He doesn't say that I am the one who reveals the truth. He doesn't say that I am the one who speaks the truth, although he did. He says, I am the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Everything that was associated with the person of Christ was true. There was no deceit in his mouth or in his heart. There was never a time whenever he was mistaken. You might remember the occasion there was the Apostle Paul was standing before the high priest, and he spoke in such a way that they said, why would you insult the high priest this way? He said, I didn't know he was the high priest. I wish not that he was the high priest. You see, there was no time like that. You don't read a single instant like that in the life of the Lord Jesus. Here was one who was true. He knew all the truth about anyone that he met. He knows all the truth about us. And despite the fact that he knows the truth about us, he still loves us. It's the character of God. The truth is an essential quality of the character of God. In him there is no shadow of turning. God's way and His pathway is a straight path, and God doesn't have to move in a given direction and say, well, that didn't work. And the purposes of God are yea and amen, because He is the God of truth. And so God can speak and it will come to pass. And we can be absolutely certain that what God says is true and will be as dependable. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 we read, "Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is our rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is He." My, you can talk to your God, talk to the world about a God like that. Why, this God that we know and this God that we represent, this God that we worship, He is a God who is truth. He is a God in whom there is no iniquity. He can deal with everyone according to His divine purposes. He is just and He is right in everything. In Genesis chapter 24, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham," this is the servant who is talking, "who hath not left destitute my master of His mercy and His truth." And then he goes on to say, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." I was not destitute of mercy, not destitute of truth. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." Isn't that marvelous? We, as we are in the way, we can trust the leading of God and know that God will lead us. By mercy, He protects us. And by mercy, He protected His servant. And by truth, He led me. David would say in 2 Samuel chapter 7, "And now, Lord God, Thou art that God, and Thy words are true. And Thou hast promised this goodness unto Thy servant. Thy words are true." So here again is one upon whom we can depend. It is the character of God. Truth is the character of God. But in addition to that, there are men to a great extent respect truth and in many instances expect truth. You get a bill from someone who is that you owe money to, and you say, and so they have written on there, you expect that person to have only be billing you for what you owe them. You don't expect them to be billing you for what I owe them, if I should owe them anything. Or that you don't expect them to bill you for just anything that they choose to make up. You see, you expect truth on the bill. And we expect truth in the world in which we live. I go down the road and I'm looking at my speedometer. I expect it to tell me the truth. I don't expect it to be giving me one figure and the guy out here with the radar getting another one. You see, we expect truth. We anticipate truth in our lives. And you remember in Joshua chapter 2, we have here one who is an alien as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. And she was not in a position actually to expect anything of the grace of God. But it says, this is Rahab speaking, she says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." I want you to show me that you are going to be true men. You're going to be true to your word. I expect you to be true to your word. God's people should be expected to be true to the Word. It's a characteristic of God. It's a part of the character of God. And there can be and should be the expectation of that which is associated with God's people as well. The Queen of Sheba, you remember, when she came into the presence of Solomon, she could reflect on the fact, she said, it was a true report that I heard. Now, there are reports that go out which are not true, but she had heard a true report of the goodness and the graciousness and the bountifulness of this man Solomon. My friends, there is a true report that is going out through this world. And it's a report concerning the goodness and the graciousness and the glory of God. It's a true report, the gospel of the grace of God. It's a true report that goes out to men and women. And men don't believe it to a great extent. There are many who simply refuse to believe it. But one day, every individual, there will not be a single one who will ultimately not come to the place where they are forced, even as the Queen of Sheba was, because of circumstances. She was forced to acknowledge it was a true report that we heard of your greatness. And men and women are going to be acknowledging it was a true report that we heard. But the difference will be she responded and came and became a beneficiary of the goodness. Many in the world which is yet to come will be rejected. A true report. We find also when you come to the book of Ruth, when there was this challenge that was made of those who had the right to interpose for on the behalf of Naomi and her family, that it must be done according to truth. And you remember Boaz would say, or Naomi would say to Boaz perhaps, or it was said to them, that in truth there is a kinsman nearer than Boaz. You see, he must abide by truth, and he must act according to truth. The nearest of kinsmen, he must be consulted first of all. You don't go beyond that which is truth. You don't circumvent truth in relation to the blessings of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we read concerning him in John chapter 1, that we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace, yes. We experience the grace of God. The individual who turns to the Lord Jesus Christ is a recipient of the grace of God. But it is not contrary, and it is not at the expense of truth. You see, mercy and peace have met together. Righteousness and peace, and mercy and truth have kissed each other. And you have these characteristics that have come together in the person of Christ, in his sacrifice for sinners. You see, God did not sacrifice, and he does not sacrifice a bit of his truth, a bit of his character, when he saves a sinner through the grace of God, through the sacrificial death of his Son. It's no sacrifice. He's not sacrificing his character in any way whatsoever. He is acting according to truth. And so God's character, and in addition to that, there are those who respect the truth of the Word of God. And so, we expect it in a court of law, we expect it in the laboratory, we expect it in the field of medicine, and we have to respect it in the field of farming and horticulture. You see, I've got in my yard a Norway maple. That's what it's supposed to be. Now, I don't know whether you know much about trees or not. Well, I didn't know a whole lot about Norway maples when I stuck that one out in my yard. And so a Norway maple is supposed to grow up and become a tall tree, 20 or 30 feet high, beautiful leaves. I've seen them so many places, and I wanted one in my yard. So I go down and I bought me one, and I stuck it out in the yard and took care of it. And it grew up, put out the leaves, and then they withered and died. And the next year it came along and it put out the leaves, and then they withered and died. Now for about 20 years, my Norway maple is about this tall. And you know what I learned just a couple of years ago? Somebody who has studied that stuff, he says, you're out of the growing range. Out of the growing range. Now up in the Piedmont, you can grow them. But down where we are, you're out of the growing range. You see, I was not operating according to truth. I was operating according to theory. I thought I could grow it there. But I didn't know. And I can keep that tree there the rest of my life, and it'll never grow 20 feet tall. I'm out of its growing range. You see, we have to operate, even in those things, we have to operate according to truth. And so when it comes to our spiritual lives, it's so vital that men and women learn that there is this one who is the truth. And we have truth associated with worship. Joshua would say, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You see, God is the God of truth. And there is no need for you to be taken up with those gods which are false gods, those gods which are the gods of lies, and those gods which are untrue. What good is it to pray unto Baal? What power does Baal have to meet your needs today, he could say? Or any of the other gods that men have built up before themselves? In what way are they empowered to minister to your needs in the world today? It is only the God of truth, and we should turn to him in truth. Our hearts should be taken up with God. Turn to him in truth, not pretense, not pretending that we are turning to God, not pretending that we are worshiping God, but that the heart should be enraptured with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the Lord's Supper on Lord's Day, and we sit together and we remember the Lord. And we sing the beautiful songs, and we read the scriptures, and we lift our voices in praises unto God. And our hearts should be true. They should be true expressions of our hearts as to what God is and who God is and what God has done for us. And the magnificence of the grace and the magnificence of the goodness that God has bestowed upon us. It is so easy to miss it. It is so easy to forget it. I'm glad that we can't do this. But I often think if someone could time that a length of time that we are actually in worship at the Lord's Supper, that my heart is actually in worship. I didn't say in an attitude of worship. I say in worship, that my heart is actually taken up with Christ and that my heart is being overwhelmed by his goodness. And if there is anything in this world that ought to overwhelm our hearts and our minds and our affections, it ought to be the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ has made for us on the cross, given of himself, an offering for our sins, bearing in his own body our sins on the tree. And because of his death, we go free. And he has provided salvation, eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My heart ought to be in truth, taken up in the presence of God. Doesn't always occur that way. The mind can be here and there and all over the place sometimes. And I'm ashamed. You can sit. Those of you that have been there, you know what it's like. You can sit on Super Bowl Sunday when the score is tied and there's 3 minutes left to play and nobody will even distract you for a glass of water, even if you're thirsty. And that's not the only place that we can be constant. We can be concentrating on something that is so vital. And what difference does it make to me whether Elway wins or not? He doesn't care what happens to me. But the Lord, He cares. And what has He done for me? Well, none of those fellows have done anything for me. I don't even wear their shirts. But the truth is, the Lord Jesus Christ has dressed me in His righteousness. Truth. To worship the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. You remember in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And they begin to speak about worship. She does. And the Lord says, you worship, you know not what. You don't know what you worship. And the day's coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will men true worship come before God. And He says, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I used to hear this expression, and maybe you've heard it too, I don't know. Worship God according to the dictates of your conscience. Worshiping God according to the dictates of your conscience. I can't find that in the Bible. We're not instructed to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. We're to worship God according to truth. You go to the Old Testament, and there you find God giving instructions to Moses and telling those individuals, if a man will desire to bring a burnt offering, he may bring a bullock, or he may bring a ram. Or he may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Well, suppose he says, well, I don't have any of those things, and so I'm going, all I could find today was, I found a rattlesnake out in my yard and I killed him, so I'm going to offer him up to the Lord. Well, you got an offering, but it is not according to truth, and it is not going to be acceptable. I suppose you know, well, I wouldn't bring a rattlesnake. You know nobody's going to bring a rattlesnake. Well, suppose you decide you're going to bring a bunny rabbit. Can't find any turtle doves. Didn't find any turtle doves. But there's a bunny. You see, man was not given the privilege to make up his mind what he would bring. God says, this is what you will bring. And so, we're told that we worship God according to truth. It's a spiritual worship, but it is according to truth. Truth is tested, you know. Joseph, as he meets his brothers after several years of being in exile, and he has now been made the ruler down in Egypt, or second in command, actually. And the famine has driven his brothers into the country where he is, and actually into his very presence. And you find there that he doesn't make himself known at first. And he poses the circumstances before them to leave one of their brothers there with him and go back and bring his other brother. And he says, "Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that you, your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you." See, Joseph knew who they were, and he knew that they had lied about him on a previous occasion. So now he says, "We're going to find out, is there any truth in you now? Or are you still the scoundrels that you were years ago?" So there is a testing of truth. And I often remember this woman that you have in the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus speaks to her. She comes to the Lord and she is asking a blessing from the Lord, and she says, and the Lord says to her, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." What was the very first word that came from her lips? "Truth, Lord." But the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She could acknowledge the truth in what Jesus had said concerning her, a dog Gentile. Yet, she knew that despite all of this, she knew that there was blessings which could come from the hand of God, even from the dogs, for the dogs, which sit at the master's table. Truth. Truth is tested. There are various things that are said concerning truth. The Herodians and the Pharisees would say concerning the Lord Jesus in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, "Master, we know that thou art true." But when you come to John's Gospel, chapter 8, the Pharisees said to him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." Some would say he is true. Some say you're not true. But the Lord Jesus Christ could say in regards to himself, back in, or it is said concerning the Lord Jesus back in chapter 1 of this book, in chapter 1, verse 14, we've already alluded to this, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 17, "And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Back in chapter, in verse 9, he says, John is saying concerning him, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." He's the only one that can give light and enlightenment to men and women on the face of the earth. In chapter 6, in verse 14, we read there, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." And so we have various testimonies of the truth and the trueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His own testimony in John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus says concerning himself that John's testimony was true. And in chapter 6, he calls himself the true bread. In chapter 8, he says it is a true record that God has given concerning him. Chapter 15, he is the true vine. In chapter 17, he talks about the one who is the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." This is what life eternal is, what it consists of. This is that which, this is that, it is basic. That knowing the true God, Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. One of the Watchtower people came to my house one day and quoted that verse to me. Asked me if I knew it. I said, well, I've heard it. I said, well, tell me something. Do you have life eternal? She said, no, I have the hope of life eternal. I said, well, that's not what that verse says. The verse says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you have life eternal? No, I have the hope of the life eternal. I said, then you don't know God, and you don't know his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what does a person like that have to offer me? Not a thing in this world. So, true testimony, the testimony of the trueness of God, and the present occupation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, according to Hebrews chapter 8. And in chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. You see, the figures that which we had in the Old Testament, they were figures of the true. They were not the true tabernacle of God, the tabernacle that was built by Moses in the wilderness, the temple that was built by Solomon. Those were not the true tabernacles. They were only the figures of the true. And so we can draw near, we're admonished to draw near to him with a true heart and full assurance. I am the truth. In Psalm 1, we said this morning that he was the way, and as the way, he was separated from the world. As the truth, he was saturated with the Word. As the way, he is the way, and men refuse to walk in it. He is the truth, and men, to a great extent, refuse to believe him. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, there's the story of this young man who takes his substance and goes into the far country. He is lost. This my son was lost. He is out of the way. But there was a time whenever he came to himself, because he was exposed to the truth and he acknowledged the truth of the Word of God. As the truth, he's God's full and perfect expression to this world of lost sinners. You can speak of him, and you can never exalt him too highly. You can never overpraise the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never make him to be too perfect, because here is one who was and is the very truth of God. And the Word of God says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you're here without him tonight, you're walking in the way of the lie. And the truth is being presented to men and women in the day and age in which we live. But there's coming a day when the Bible says that men will believe the lie rather than the truth. Men are so gullible until even today they believe the lie And yet, by the grace of God, some who have believed the lie are turning to the truth. But there's coming a day when men, God shall send them strong delusions, that they will believe the lie rather than the truth. So if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd better do it now, while you have time and opportunity, while the truth of God in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is so readily available for you. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful this evening for Thy Word. We pray that You will impress upon our hearts the truth concerning Thy Son. Help it to move upon our souls, O God. Help us to be duly exercised according to Thy divine purposes for Thy glory and honor. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.